Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I'm asked what my favorite movie is, I almost always respond From the Hip. I mean, that's the name of the movie, not just From the Hip. The movie is called From the Hip. Anybody seen it? Yeah, my family. Apparently, it was not a box office success, but it came out when I was in high school, and it starred Judd Nelson, and it came out at a time when I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, and I just love the movie and how his name was Stormy Weathers in the movie and how he always seemed to be one step ahead in the courtroom. There are other courtroom dramas and legal thrillers that have captured my attention over the years. Another one that came out a little later than that, but around that time, was a much better known movie because it had much bigger actors in it. Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson starred in it, and it actually had some Academy Award nominations. A Few Good Men. Anybody seen that one? Yes. Right. Well, my favorite scene from that movie is when they are in the military courtroom where Cruise's character, a young, inexperienced Navy lawyer, is cross-examining a seasoned colonel played by Jack Nicholson. And after a heated exchange between the two, Cruise's character yells at the colonel that he wants the truth, to which Jack Nicholson, as the colonel, responds, "You can't handle the truth." And then he goes on to explain that there are things that he and others in the military have to do in order to save lives and to preserve our freedoms, things that we would never understand or accept. It's quite a dramatic scene that culminates with the colonel ultimately confessing to have ordered the code red, which resulted in the death of a young Marine private. Can you handle the truth? The disciples couldn't, at least not according to Jesus in our gospel reading this morning from John. It comes from Jesus' farewell discourse in John, where Jesus tells the disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear to hear them now." The farewell discourse in John is a compilation of Jesus' teachings that begins in the 13th chapter and goes through the 17th. The setting for these teachings is the Last Supper in John's gospel. So among the teachings that happened over four chapters, but allegedly happened in one night, there is a sense of urgency as Jesus is trying to share with his disciples all the things that he needs to say before he is arrested and crucified. And here, near the end of his farewell discourse, Jesus tells the disciples that they have heard enough and that they can't bear to hear anymore. I remember having that feeling when I was in seminary, especially that summer when I was taking a year's worth of Greek in 6 weeks. It was brutal. We had class from 8 to noon, Monday through Friday, and then we would study for at least 8 hours every day after that, and all day Saturday. But we didn't study on Sundays. Our professor encouraged us to take a Sabbath. He said that we needed to rest, that our brains needed to rest to allow what we had already learned to settle in. But even so, there were many times that summer where I felt like I couldn't bear to hear another Greek letter, to learn another Greek vocab word or conjugation. Jesus' concern for the disciples was not their ability to learn or speak or understand Greek. No, he wanted to make sure that they understood as best they could who he is, what he came to accomplish, and where he was going. And as a result, Jesus had many things he wanted to share with his disciples during his farewell discourse, such as the inner relationship that exists within the Trinity. But he knew they couldn't bear to hear it. So in our reading, he just alludes to it. Now, this isn't the first time that we hear about the Holy Spirit in John, and it's not the first time Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit even in the farewell discourse. In fact, this is the fifth and final time he will teach the disciples about the Holy Spirit in his farewell discourse. And one of his earlier teachings about the Spirit comes from John chapter 14, where Jesus refers to the Spirit as the advocate, whom the Father will send, who will teach you everything and remind you of what I have said to you. So in John 14, the Spirit is referred to as the advocate. And here in John 16, the Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of truth. It's a unique description of the Spirit. John is the only one who records its use in all of Scripture. Well, when the Spirit of truth comes, John records Jesus saying, it will guide you into all truth. Now, the truth that's being referred to here is not simply the answers to the disciples' questions, nor is it the answers to all of our questions, unfortunately. The truth is not mere facts and data. It's not Greek grammar or vocab. The truth that is being referred to here by the Spirit is Jesus. It's Jesus. But how can we say that? How do we know that? Well, back in John 14:6, while Jesus is answering Thomas's question about how they can know the way to the place where he is going, this is a text that oftentimes gets read at funerals. You may recognize Jesus' response. When Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you are going," to which Jesus responds, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the truth. He said so himself. So utilizing basic logic, the Spirit of truth is the Spirit of Jesus. And the Spirit of truth will not speak on its own, but will speak whatever it hears, and it will declare to you the things that are to come. Things that are to come, because you can't bear to hear them now. So according to Jesus, the Spirit of truth will declare what it hears from Jesus. And in chapter 14, Jesus tells the disciples the advocate will remind them of what Jesus had said, knowing that they couldn't bear to hear anymore. And then that same Spirit will come and declare to us what Jesus has yet to say. Now, this would have been a great place for Jesus to stop. It's already confusing enough. Does he stop? No. He goes on. I mean, he told them they couldn't bear to hear anymore. It seems like he continues to explain or try to explain that the Spirit will take what is his and declare it, and by doing so will glorify him. And the Spirit will take what is the Father's, which is also Jesus's, and declare it also. Now, I have to imagine at this point the disciples were looking at each other and scratching their heads, as some of you I've seen do already in my sermon. We know that this would not be the first time they've struggled to understand what Jesus was trying to say, nor the first time that you've probably tried to understand what I'm trying to say. And that, perhaps, is the very point that Jesus is trying to make. They cannot bear to hear or understand any more of what he has to tell them at that time. So it'd be foolhardy for them to try to strain their brains in an effort to comprehend any more. It'd be like trying to jam more Greek vocab into my already saturated brain. The disciples' understanding would come later. And it would come not by their own efforts, but through the leading, teaching, and prompting of the Holy Spirit. As you've already heard, today is Trinity Sunday. It's a Sunday in the church year where the triune God is taught, glorified, celebrated, and praised, and the Sunday in the church year where, as preachers, we try to make sense of this doctrine of the Trinity and explain it in a way that makes sense to you. And we scratch our heads and look at one another and wonder, what is he or she saying? explaining the mystery of the Trinity can be like trying to understand Greek, or like trying to smell the color 9. The color 9, Ryan, you remember? It's the title of a song, an album sung by Chris Rice, and it's a favorite of our family. The end of the second verse of this song, Smell the Color 9, which I may have quoted before in a sermon, I did this morning, but maybe even before that, goes something like this. So I'm not looking for burning bushes or some divine graffiti to appear. I'm not going to sing like Andrea did last week. You're welcome. I'm just begging you for your wisdom and believe that you're putting some here. And then the chorus. Because I can sniff and I can see and I can count up pretty high. But these faculties aren't getting me any closer to the sky. But my heart of faith keeps pounding, so I know I'm doing fine. But sometimes, finding you is just like trying to smell the color 9. And the song concludes, and 9 is not a color. And even if it was, you can't smell a color. And that's my point exactly. Pastor Bruce told me coming out of the early service that actually number 9 smells like orange, an orange. Sometimes finding you is like trying to smell the color 9. We just can't do it. At least not on our own. We need help. We, like the disciples, need the help that only the Spirit of truth can provide. For the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. But even knowing that, even knowing that the Spirit of truth will lead us into all truth, doesn't necessarily help us any better explain the Trinity today. As a result, except for Trinity Sunday, we neglect and ignore. We say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we move on. But it was important in the early church, this whole idea of the Trinitarian nature of God, because they were fighting against the idea or practice of polytheism. There were people who believed that there was a God for everything under the sun, including the sun. And the early Christian church wanted to demonstrate that they worship the one true God who comes to us in three distinct natures. So the Trinitarian doctrine was incredibly important to the early church, and it's why it remains a basic tenet of the faith today. So today we accept it as truth, even if we can't fully explain it and probably don't want to talk about it. And so we include it among the other mysteries of the faith. Like the disciples, I'm not sure that we are ready to bear them yet. I don't know that we are ready to handle this truth. But the truth that I trust that we can handle is this, is that out of God's great love for us, God sent God's Son to dwell among us and to give his life as an atoning sacrifice for us. And when Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended back into heaven, the Holy Spirit remained with us and within us so that the glory and love of God might be revealed to us and through us. It is that simple. So whether you can handle the truth or not, the triune God is now and has always been and will always be drawing us into God's presence through the love of the Father, the sacrifice of the Son, and the presence of the Holy Spirit at work among us. Thanks be to God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.